Lady Gaul swept down the gangplank, followed by the Admiral of the Fleet. The soldiers and sailors stood to attention. The few townspeople nearby stood absolutely still. Jasper realized he shouldn't move either. There were murmurs of, "Oh, beautiful, oh, wise." The Admiral raised his hands. The crowd fell silent. The Admiral bowed, and Lady Gaul stepped forward.
"I am so proud of you, my people. We have made great strides. Fontania used to rely on the great nonsense."
The crowd caught their breath at the mention of the thing that was forbidden. But, of course, she was Lady Gaul, not an ordinary person. And she hadn't said magic directly.
"But now we know the great nonsense was old-fashioned as well as dangerous. Now we have science, in which everyone can share. The workroom of knowledge is making great strides. You will see, my people, we will all continue to make great strides."
What she said was twaddle to Jasper. But the crowd cheered. Pink flags were handed out by soldiers, and people waved them. The Admiral bowed to Lady Gaul again.
"It is time the people of Old Ocean and all its lands and islands had an actual monarch," he declared.
People glanced at each other as if to say, "Fat chance of that." Lady Gaul held up a hand.
"Searching for the actual monarch is honourable work. If we seek, we shall find."
Her fingernails glinted, purple this time, but still as sharp as knives.
"We may find that the true crown is not a real object, but a state of mind. An honourable state of mind in an honourable monarch that can be symbolised by a wonderful new crown created by the orphans of the Eastern Isle."
The Admiral waved his hands in rapid circles, encouraging the crowd to cheer. Then he bowed to the provisional monarch.
"We no longer rely on the nonsense of 7 years ago. Therefore, we are free to choose a monarch for ourselves, to choose an honourable king. Or queen."
He bowed again to Lady Gaul. The crowd was suddenly as still as statues. Lady Gaul pointed very prettily at herself with her sharp nails.
"Admiral, you can't mean me. Oh, if I were chosen as the actual queen, I would be so humble."
She spread both hands to show how humble, and smiled as widely as possible for a woman with a face that couldn't move.
"But I am simply taking care of those poor orphans from the Eastern Isle. We must take great care of those whose homes were ruined in the shocking, shameful accident."
"Ooh," said the crowd. "Ooh, generous. Ooh, wise." Lady Gaul waved towards the excellent hound. Between two guards at the railing stood a child about Jasper's age. Was it a boy or a girl? It wore a white tunic. Its hair was a mass of dark curls. Its eyes were huge. The provisional monarch flicked a hand, and the child bowed. It raised a flute to its mouth and began to play. Boy or girl, it was good at the flute. Jasper nudged a woman next to him. "Who's that?"
"One of the orphans."
Lady Gaul flicked her hand a second time, and the music stopped. A guard led the orphan away inside the hound. An officer walked past, and the woman straightened herself quickly.
"How kindly she cares for the orphans of the accident," she said in a loud voice. "Oh, she should be monarch. Oh, she cares for us all."
Jasper didn't have a clue what to say, so he just said, "Oh."
"Her ships have been rescuing folk who were wrecked in that great storm. Oh."
Had the Navy rescued Jasper's parents? Or had pirates captured them? Which would be worse?
A man's voice called. Lady Gaul. Admiral. Permission to speak, madam?
Jasper thought he'd been discovered, but it was a naval officer in a smart green coat, breathing hard as if he'd run a race. He saluted.
News from the Red Wharf, madam.
Jasper listened as hard as he could, but the officer's voice dropped to a whisper. Lady Gaul gave a yelp of glee. The officer said something more, and she let out a little scream of rage. Then she dashed up the gangplank with the admiral. Why had Lady Gaul rushed onto the Hound? Was it news of his parents? Good news or bad? Not knowing was a knife blade in Jasper's heart.
Richard boy, scolded Polly as he came aboard. We warned you to stay out of sight.
Sorry. When they were far out at sea, Jasper carried a tray of sandwiches to the wheelhouse. Dr. Rocket sat on the steering stool, a hand on the wheel. With the other, he held Jasper's sandwiches and took great bites. Polly wrapped herself in a blanket and set a chair on the deck below. For a while, they chewed in silence. Polly eyed Jasper.
You heard Lady Gaul speaking to the crowd?
She said some stuff about the true crown. Polly examined the inside of her sandwich.
Oh?
She said if the crown was never found, it wouldn't matter. Dr. Rocket stopped mid-chew. She said we didn't need, she calls it, the great nonsense.
Nonsense, eh? The captain rumbled.
That a king or a queen with a new crown and an honourable mind would do the job.
Dr. Rocket finished his mouthful. Fair enough, in its way and as far as it goes. A new crown, easy to come by. The honourable mind, that's not so easy. An honourable mind. And Lady Gaul.
There's something I haven't told you, Jasper said.
The captain's old eyes held a faint twinkle. Only one thing.
Jasper took a breath and plunged on. I saw Lady Gaul putting something in my sister's mouth. It made her sick for a whole week. That's why we left home in such a hurry.
Dr. Rocket and Polly both lowered their sandwiches.
She wants my family dead. Or gathered alive, Jasper said. I don't know why.
Next morning, the horizon was a stretch of haze, the sky a delicate eggshell blue. After the usual fiery noises below, the captain came up to breakfast.
Half a day to the Isle of Storms.
He stomped up the ladder to the wheelhouse. A sail appeared on the horizon, and a puff of black smoke from the funnel of another ship. Polly shaded her eyes for a moment and joined Dr. Rocket in the wheelhouse. They didn't invite Jasper to join them. Dr. Rocket spent ages peering through the big brass telescope. Then Polly used it. Her face became grim. Jasper longed to use the telescope as well.
Shall I fetch more coffee? A piece of cake?
He didn't wait for an answer in case it was no. He climbed to the wheelhouse and passed a mug and plate to Dr. Rocket. Then he sidled to the telescope and put his eye to it. He saw a blur of waves, and then, in the middle of his vision, was a five-master. It flew a pirate flag. He swung the telescope to another vessel. It, too, flew a pirate flag. So did a third. They were a flock of scavengers picking up wreckage. So much wreckage, even days after the storm.
Dr. Rocket, said Jasper, it's possible that my parents might be aboard one of the... that they've been captured.
Possibly. Possibly not, said the captain. Whichever it is, we mustn't let ourselves be captured.
But how could the travelling restaurant not be noticed? A tendril of white floated past him like a moth's wing. Another tendril, mist, drifted up. Soon the travelling restaurant was in fog, thick and syrupy enough to scoop up with a ladle. It even smelled a little sweet. Without speaking, Dr. Rocket steered on. The fog looked thickest around the travelling restaurant, but it was hard to be sure. What was certain was she sailed between the pirate ships unchallenged. The captain seemed to hold his breath in disbelief. Junk and rubbish floated past. All at once, the travelling restaurant was almost on top of a broken slab of wood, and sprawled on it was a man. He peered up at Jasper through a damp fringe, then collapsed. "Captain! Dr. Rocket!" Jasper tugged at his sleeve. "We must do something!"
"Sorry, boy. We mustn't risk it."
The restaurant was drifting further from the raft at every moment. What if Jasper's father or Uncle Trump were stranded in the middle of Old Ocean and a ship simply sailed by? He must do something. Suddenly the man struggled to his knees and plunged off. With a splashing one-armed dog paddle, he soon had a grip on the ship's side. In the other arm he clutched a black bundle. He thrashed about, his head went under. With grumbling sounds like a volcano, the captain climbed down a rope ladder. He heaved the man over his shoulders up onto the deck and into the cabin. An hour passed. Polly stayed in the rigging, and the man remained lifeless. On deck again, all Jasper could see was the shimmer of waves under the mist. Then a movement caught his eye. A tiny green bird dipped and swooped. When it reached the ship, it soared into the rigging close to Polly. Jasper began to climb up to see it better, but Dr. Rocket grabbed his collar.
"Stay on deck, thank you. It'll be no good finding your mother if we've lost you overboard. She's a most ferocious woman, is your mother."
Jasper stared. Dr. Rocket flushed as if he'd given away a secret. Did the captain know his mother? The green bird, with a piping sound, pattered off again across the waves. The captain clambered back to tend the wheel. Polly tumbled neatly back on deck. All passengers from the Blue Swan are safe on other vessels. Relief made Jasper dizzy. His parents were safe. So was Sibylla. "Did the green bird tell you?" Polly's shoulders went stiff. "There are such things as signal flags, you know."